Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I had a Koya. I put a lot of weird stuff in my body now, don't I? I had a Koya cinnamon horchata.
Oh, that's a drink.
Dirty horchata.
You had an amazing time from Reston to D.C. because of your mole. Were you able to take the HOV lane? You know what? After this segment, I care about myself even less.
No, I can imagine that you've been through it. And you probably don't. I mean, I don't think you'd have. If there was something bad, he probably would have called you.
You know,
is that the attitude you have?
A lot of times I don't pick up my phone. Maybe he has been calling.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
For a man who played a lot of sports when he was growing up, but really hasn't spent a tremendous amount of time in the gym.
Yeah.
In his adult life, certainly not with a guy that's helping him. I had a trainer about 15 years ago, something like that. This is I've been back to it, and I guess I'm in my third or fourth month with this guy. Things not to say to a trainer.
David, there's a list of things you shouldn't say to your trainer.
I want you to work my arms harder.
You said that?
Don't say that to a trainer.
Yeah.
Don't.
I couldn't open my car door today when I got home.
You. That's why you need that's why you need a DeLorean.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah, you don't want that flab just flapping in the wind.
I don't like the feeling. I don't like the feeling of a post-workout
soreness.
I love soreness the day after. Love that. Love that because it means you've done something and it's a good soreness. I don't like that immediate weakness that shows muscles going to bed. Yeah. And I'm talking about, I mentioned this in my show prep yesterday, I lift nursing home weight.
Yeah. But Mike, this is so great. This is from the 62-year-old playbook. There's a difference between soreness and weakness.
Well, no. Oscar knows this.
Yes.
At the conclusion of an intense workout, when muscles have gone to failure, it is just, it's kind of a, especially the upper body.
But it's not a burn, is it? It's just like,
well, it's a burn
seizing.
When you're doing it. Several things are a burn.
This is, I guess, the equivalent is this. And I felt it. This is what was scary, Mike. After the first, the worst day of COVID, right?
Right.
When you go to pick up something and you're like, oh, I'm so weak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You feel this like, I've got nothing in my reserves that if I fell, I couldn't even catch myself.
Yeah, you couldn't pick the truck up off of Father Kent. Right.
What I love about this show is that it jogs my mind as soon as we start talking, and I remember something I wanted to talk to you about. With COVID, since you had it and since your wife had it,
yes,
and since my wife has now had it, she said, let me see if I've got this right. I want to make sure. We're going away. We're going across the alley, spending a night in Miami just to get away.
Yeah.
That's summer.
Got to get
away.
That's
what we're doing.
Southwest.
Is that the 319?
No. Yes, it is.
Yes.
And so how did she put it to me? I said, it's great. We're going to have a night away. We'll go over there, maybe go to the Hard Rock, and we'll stay. I got a rate at a hotel over Miami, a cheap rate, not the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
By the way, those days of me being a playa are over.
Yeah.
So couldn't do it. Tried to lie my way into it. I can't. They know now with computers, they know, if you're a player.
Well, yes, I'm calling for Mike O'Mara. The Hard Rock?
No, not like that. No. Nothing like that. But thanks for trying. It really was how did she put it? She said, I'm looking forward to going away, but I'm unsettled. I feel unsettled.
Yeah. Imagine that.
We went out this past weekend. She had a couple of toddies. Nothing abnormal, but it threw her. She's out of commission all day Sunday. She felt horrible. She's felt horrible most of the week. My question to you.
You have been diminished. When your body fights a virus of that strength, you're diminished because all of the stuff that your body should normally do to make your body work has been changed to fight it. And it's going to take a while to bounce back.
How long after your
hospital
your issue, after your, how long before you felt, well, you're. I'll get to you in a second. I want to ask Oscar because he had it. Do you feel that? I got the impression that there is a physical diminishment and also a psychological element of kind of an unsettled nature where she doesn't feel like herself. Is that valid?
Yes. And I don't think I'm a complainer. Am I on the show? I don't complain about much. Like, I bitch about things on the show that have to do with the
show.
You
get angry, but you don't.
Yeah, but, I don't complain about, like, oh, everything hurts.
No, he's not
everything.
A whiner. You're
I
not.
Don't whine about it.
Right.
It's unsettling in that it's a great way to articulate it when you are used to picking up your bag for work without any effort whatsoever.
Right.
But to this day. This is, 3 weeks, almost a month later? I'm slowly getting back to where I used to be, where I don't engage, I engage my core to pick up my effing backpack.
Mm.
So COVID...
It takes a little time.
Even though you're not, you're not hacking and coughing or having trouble breathing, it permeates everything else.
Yeah, what it wrecked for me personally was my physical confidence. Because I was in better shape before I got COVID, and then coming out of COVID, like even moving stuff around the studio,
right?
I'm like, all right, engage your core because
you were dormant for a couple weeks.
But still, it shouldn't atrophy all your muscles.
That's weird. Because I think that's what she might be feeling. She's usually pretty vigorous, and she also worked today. I shouldn't say anything because it's her business. I don't want to F with it. I don't.
Right.
But when you're dealing with the public on a daily basis, she will take calls occasionally, and I want to be as cryptic as possible about this. And she will take calls occasionally from potential clients, and I heard this whole call. And it's a call that if I had been on the other end, I would have given up my business to just quit.
Wow,
on the
is that
spot.
Bad?
On and on and on. Well, why do you charge this? Da 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 da. And it was not rudeness; it was just directness, but difficult because it just went. I know of so-and-so that does this. And she got off the phone and I looked at her. I said, color me impossible to do that, what you just did. And it went away. And I also said, run in the other direction. Do not bring that person in. That person has come in.
Mike.
And how
probably
did it
happening
go?
As we speak.
Oh,
we
you don't know yet. You
haven't
know
gotten
yet.
The results
I know you
yet.
All Looking are not Beer Fest fans.
The movie?
I think you should reevaluate if you get a moment.
Mm.
But there's a specific line that is said, if you got to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah. I mean, that's been said in other things, too.
It's not when you are
when people are comping the S out of you. That's you're like, all right, look, you clearly don't want to spend the money. Let's move on.
But as someone that has dealt, in one-on-one.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait, I got to answer that because she showed up and I'm blown away. I thought that was a complete waste of time. It wasn't. This person is posting.
Yes.
And I'll give you the results.
However,
she
has set the table to be a difficult customer.
Oh, Carla's freaked. Carla's not freaked.
She's a businesswoman.
She's aware of it.
Certain people, customers have a way
you're
about
You're a high
them.
Maintenance right. client, Mr. Mike O'Mara.
I am not.
Rob, low maintenance.
I don't know that you're right there. I think
I'm saying, like, if it, like,
we both require some maintenance. We're not like a Rolls Royce, but we're like a Chevy Malibu.
Now, Mike is like a Rolls Royce.
I don't think he's like a Rolls Royce.
You're
a Dodge Challenger.
You're super.
I am a Dodge Challenger
with the Scat Pack.
With the Scat Pack wide body, the big tires.
Got it.
Which, by the way, I wish I had down here now.
It's a good time for that engine.
Three things about the great state.
Yes.
My great state.
Of Florida.
All right. The great state. No one's left. At least it doesn't feel like that on the highways. I log a lot of miles on a Thursday. All
okay.
Right? I am driving
it's
20
Thursday's
miles
birthdays.
To drop my kid off.
Birthday,
then I drive 20 miles back here. Then I drive another 20 miles down to work out. Then I drive 40 miles. No, it's not that much. I'm going to say I do a 25-minute drive to drop my kid off. I do
okay.
I do a 25-minute drive back to the house.
Right.
And then I do a 15-minute drive down to work out. Then I do a 30-minute drive down to where I drop my kid off. And then I do 25 minutes back to my house.
I would say that's
75
miles.
And then I come in here
miles.
To meet you fine people.
I would say that's 75 miles.
That's a long day
that
of
is.
Driving.
But and, a lot
and
of time.
0.0 traffic, right?
No, they're all here.
Oh,
they're all,
no.
No, these are not seniors. This is the work. This is an orgy of development, the likes of which I've never seen. It is constant, and it's not, by the way, it's not necessarily development. It's all the people. There's so much real estate down here.
Oh, so they're still building.
They're building, but what it is just work
got
trucks
it.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it never stops.
You know, if you judge this on Route 75, the major highway that cuts through Southwest Florida, you would say, what recession, what mm-hmm. inflation, the economy is thriving, but it's just dump trucks and work trucks and little cars cutting you off all the day. And averaging now at least every other day, an accident of some kind. And I'm talking about the kind where cars are in the ditch, cars are
yeah.
flipped over, and I'm watching it, and it never was like this last year. I'm talking about a year ago, it was not
yeah.
like this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's happening. What's it like up where you are? I mean, you know.
I actually...
Traffic is still lighter as far as I'm concerned every morning.
Thank you for being honest.
Yeah.
Because everybody beats the effing drum.
About traffic.
No, it's not. You know what?
It is
higher than it. It's more than it was during the height of COVID. But if you want to even try to compare it to how it was, say, 4 years ago, forget it.
It's a third.
It's
and
a I, third
and
of
I'll
it.
Tell you, and you know why? I can
really?
Tell you,
yes.
You know why I can tell you this, Mike? This morning,
we have to move back.
This wackadoo.
Yes.
For some reason, my dermatologist. I have a holy moly right here. For the world.
Oh, that doesn't look good.
Yeah, I think
that's removed.
Mike, that's a
get
beauty,
that right off to the lab.
That's a beauty mark, is what that is.
Man, oh man.
It's like he's got Marilyn Monroe in a headlock. So, it's beautiful.
Looks like the surface of your liver.
Yeah, Shannon finally, it is spotty.
Hey, you know what? We could probably get a group deal.
So, did you ever get any follow up from your main guy, your expert guy about the scan you got?
The scan, I have not heard from him yet. And
have you called him?
I have not, but he said.
No, we're done. That's okay. If you don't care, I don't care. Go
America,
ahead, Oscar. All right. Yeah.
I will continue my story now.
Yes.
Rob will figure out when to care for himself one day. I drove to Reston, Virginia, where my dermatologist is.
Yes.
And I was cursing myself the entire time because I have to go from D.C. to Reston, which is against traffic, which is
yes,
fine.
That's true.
But my appointment is at 9 a.m. Why would
you
I
gotta
ever
grab
make it?
Yourself a little downtown dock so you don't have to. Why are you going off to the burbs?
You're right. They're all around me. Like, they're all around this building.
What you need is a city doctor.
A city doctor.
City doctor.
And don't they say city doctors? Because they have more volume.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Yeah.
I've been going to this one doctor for a long time. She knows me and my skin.
Her name is Felicia Scrapington.
So, she gets me I get a 9 a.m. because my wife's like, hey, that mole continues to look like it's growing. You got to go. You got to go.
Most
get
doctors in dermatologist's office use tools. Felicia uses just her index fingernail.
That's all she needs.
Well,
that's
all she needs.
Everybody needs a
sharp
scraper.
As a razor.
Yeah.
Did they take it off yet?
No, they'll. they went and evaluated, you know, my body, and they're looking at all the moles. I don't know if you've ever had a mole scan before, but mole scan instead of phone scan.
I was thinking mule skin.
No. I got to her office so early because I thought there was going to be so much traffic, even in the world of Waze.
Right.
That I sat in the parking lot and I said, 8:45. I'm never early for things. I'm usually late. This is crazy. I can't. It was off-putting.
Mike, it was so early that between the time he got there and when the doctor saw him, he developed two more moles.
Amazing.
It was shocking.
And they didn't take you earlier, did they?
No.
They never did.
They don't.
Doors weren't open.
No.
Now, by the way, if you've had any experience with the physicians, or you haven't in particular, we'll give this advice, at least I will. Yeah. I find no benefit in arriving at a doctor's office early. None.
No.
None.
Get there at the appointed hour.
At the appointed hour, maybe you get lucky and they'll take you on time.
Yeah. On the same page. So.
No value to getting on time. Getting there early. Oh, I just did that to my hair.
Just kidding. Oh, so, God. So we said,
if you sit up straight, it looks fine. We said, there we go.
I said to myself, I was like, well, he goes, I'm sorry you had to deal with all this traffic to come in. I said it was against traffic. And actually, I got here faster than I ever thought I would.
Yeah.
And she said, that's strange. Like, everyone's always complaining to me about traffic.
For the first time in memory this morning, I stopped. There was like a small, maybe 90-second delay on the toll road. Yeah. And I said, God, I haven't had to touch the brake on the toll road forever. And I mean, it used to be.
So that's a good thing.
It's
that's
a wonderful
good. Congratulations.
Thing. Yeah, it's so, a disaster.
I'm done.
They're all moving down here.
I'm good. Done in 15.
Right.
Quick scan, shirt off. Like, where
oh, are make sure you get to keep them all. I mean, like, okay. In a jar.
For later, yes. Yes. Set an appointment to go back and get this thing.
Holidays are coming.
Yanked off, right?
Right.
Fine. And then I said, this is going to be great. I can experience at least part of what my friend Rob Spiewak deals with, what my friend Ponyboy Matt Bloom deals with. I want to see this traffic, not because I doubted it. I just want to see it. I was like, this is going to be grueling because I hear a lot of moans and groans from people.
Sure.
Right.
I went from the depths of Reston, Virginia.
Which is about 40 minutes outside of D.C.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what it's about now? 23 minutes.
I was going
to
say.
To the center of D.C. Yeah.
Summertime and COVID and the work from
Everybody's
home.
Everybody's working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacular. Ought to be that way in every city in the world.
I would love it.
I was blown away. I was like, this is. There must
but
be
we are so
sort of
conditioned
audible.
In D.C. about A, complaining and worrying about snow. That's another issue. But it's just sort of in the D.C. DNA that if you're late. You can always say traffic.
Palm bone.
But it's not that way anymore.
How long was your commute and how long is it now? And don't give me some crazy, you know, backwards answer. Just be honest.
No, but tell the truth. Don't try to steer him into it. I want to know maybe he's got a counterpoint.
Let's see. Coming in, it would take about 45 minutes going. And this was back before COVID. It would take 45 minutes in. Getting home was maybe about an hour on average. Now coming in, it's about 30 minutes going home. It's like 30. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's yeah. Great.
Most before, of the delay.
So this is it. This
before
is
COVID.
Yeah. Hold on. You're talking about something that drove me out of the DC area, and you're telling me that it has improved dramatically?
Yes.
That's yeah, I didn't know that.
Mike, before COVID, my commute was an hour 20 to an hour 30. Now it's about 90 seconds.
Thank you.
No,
somebody
I
had to do that.
No.
No, we did sound jive, so somebody
no,
had to
no,
do that.
No, I went from an hour and a half to about 55 minutes.
I'm being serious.
Yeah.
I know you're being serious.
Worst,
I'm not, I don't think you're lying.
I was like, this is crazy.
And it's great right? Now that the manager knows this, because anyone that blames
I've
traffic.
Been
like,
down
what
down
traffic?
That road.
Yeah, I've been down that road. Yeah.
I question sometimes that over the last 2 weeks down here, I have questioned my my medication when I'm on the highways, because I'm doing a lot more driving than I've done before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this guy today, there's a Volvo today, orange Volvo, orange rust colored, kind of orangey.
Oh, burnt orange.
Oh, so not like a go
burnt
to hell
orange Volvo. Yeah.
Not like a go to hell orange, more of an earth tone orange.
Yeah,
coming back from
right on
Carla's office, which is where the guy I work out with works. Also coming back there, not once, not twice, and not dramatic, but three cutoffs. Three separate cutoffs, because it's a two-lane road with lots of give and take in the traffic. And the guy cut me off not once, not twice, three times. And, you know, you have to keep it in your pants, especially down here when I'll give you the bumper sticker I saw today. And because you see him down here, pro-choice, right in the back of his truck, pro-choice. And you know what he had? Three different guns. Like he has a choice of three guns.
Clever.
Yeah. Welcome to where I live.
I think someone will be a little more sensitive considering all the mass shootings.
Sensitive? What do you do when you're flying a Biden flag off your pickup truck? You're not going to be sensitive.
No.
Sensitive doesn't work. Sensitive doesn't work down here. But anywho, getting in it, what concerns me is that everybody wants to go their speed. And you know what I'm talking about if you deal with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But down here, it's just I have found it. I have said to Carla, I have talked to professionals that I've dealt with down here. I've talked to other friends of mine down here. And I've said to them, and this is not a volume issue necessarily, because it's not a lot of bumper to bumper. It's not. Not in the summertime. But what it is, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. There's a lot of weird s happening, and I don't know whether that's Florida, whether it's Southwest Florida, whether it's the Mid-Atlantic, the Southeast, the Southwest, the Pacific Northwest. I don't have any idea.
It's the freedom of the open road and
flying around without COVID people.
It's actually
exactly.
It's a problem in the DMV. And it was addressed at least early as the world opened up because people were so used to going, and this is, I'm talking about 66. I'm talking about all the main third, like even 495, where you could go 100 miles.
That's the
miles.
Beltway, people, around the rest
you
of
go,
the country.
You could, these are major highways. You could go 100 miles per hour, no problem.
Yeah, no one in your way. No one in your way.
And more
people. That's exciting.
Yeah, and more people.
Does that mean you could take a flight from BWI again if you lived in Northern Virginia?
Oh, yeah.
You could actually use Baltimore, Washington, Thurgood.
It wasn't as painful, yes.
Thurgood Marshall International Airport could be a viable alternative.
Yes. If you didn't want to patronize John Foster Dulles International Airport, you could go to Thurgood Marshall.
Well, let me explain for somebody who lived in one. And anybody who lives in a big city knows what I'm talking about here. In the day, back when I was living in Washington, D.C., there were three airports. There was Thurgood Marshall, which is also called Baltimore Washington International. It's not Washington. It's a Baltimore airport. You had National Airport that was located in the city of Washington, D.C. Very convenient if you wanted to get right into the nation's capital. And then you had Dulles Airport out in the Virginia suburbs. All right. So for years and years, when I would be planning trips anywhere, anyhow, it would always seem to me that the most flights going somewhere came out of Baltimore, Washington International Airport. For what reason, I don't know. You had big runways at Dulles International. You did. Well, if you were going
to
Dubai.
Was it more flights or was it also better deals? Because I've also found better deals.
Better deals, less connections. Just in the places I wanted to go.
It was at least 40% cheaper.
Yeah.
It was 40% cheaper and it was where I wanted to go. Which is, well, where do you want to go, Mike? Las Vegas and Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Really, I thought by the time you drove to Baltimore, you were already where you wanted
flights,
to go.
The daily parking's $12.
Yeah.
If you want some sort of coverage over your car, if not, it's $8.
Yeah.
I know it all.
Right.
$8.
If you want to get a nonstop flight to Mogadishu, Dulles Airport is your baby.
I would pick my father up from every foreign land.
Yeah,
in the because they have
his
customs
nonstop flight.
Yes,
you know,
I'd pick him up, and he'd look all dusty coming off of where everybody arrives to America.
Yeah,
right.
And I was like, "How was that 13-hour flight?" He's like, "Where's the car?"
I'm on the 7:20 flight to Abu Dhabi. Can you show me the way?
Oh, we've got eight flights. We've got eight nonstops. Like, they're all empty.
Are you coming home?
Empty. Every flight's all empty. To Abu Dhabi.
Are you coming home from Tehran at 3 a.m. or 5 a.m.? When should I pick you up?
I'd like to see if you have a flight to Hartford, Connecticut. We do, but you have to connect through Denver.
Are you interested in our Istanbul shuttle? It leaves on the hour.
Yeah. It's just a weird airport.
It's a weird airport. Yeah.
Weird the way they had flights. Yeah. And but that's amazing that you're talking about that change in the Washington.
I do have
now,
one question.
Will that
for
change
Oscar.
After summer? Will that change after the summer?
The school will thicken suburban traffic, but not on the highways.
Nobody wants to come to work anymore.
Did you had an amazing time from Reston to DC. I'm because sorry. Of your mole, Were you able to take the HOV lane?
I had, yeah. Sir, this growth on my arm.
Is it all right, by the way? Did they check it out? Have you gotten the results yet?
She said that she'd been taking pictures of the same mole for the past 10 years, and she did the comparison before I arrived. And she said it has raised just a bit.
Ah.
So
I would buy that. I would buy that flip book, though.
Have you ever been scanned with one of the lights?
Oh, yeah.
Have you gotten that? Yeah, have you ever been scanned by one of the
lights? No, I've never had a problematic mole.
Have you ever almost died and then had a specialist look at your liver scan and not called because you don't give a shit?
You see, that's just rude.
I know, that's very rude.
How long are you
going
to wait? It's been 2 weeks.
My apologies.
Hey,
sincere apologies.
What'd the doctor say? Nothing. We'll figure it out later on.
I had, at this hour, I was going to rearrange the schedule for our taping today. I had a dermatologist appointment.
You kind of indicated yesterday you might change, and then you said no.
That's the one that went.
Yeah,
he's the one that went. Yeah. I can make another point. And would you like to know the main reason?
Yeah,
really, the main reason. I don't like him.
Really?
No, not one bit of him do I like. I don't like him. Like him. Don't like him. Like him.
You know,
like
I'm thinking back about skin doctor. I don't think I've ever had a skin doctor.
My
that
skin
I like.
Doctor gives me gifts for my wife. Like a little satchel.
Like lotion.
Yeah,
and
she goes, this is for
SPF.
Knows the name.
Like towels.
Knows Shannon. Shannon's never seen her and knows Shannon and says, this is for Shannon. Whoever's running that back office with notes, like probably primes the doctor and says, Mr. Savage's coming in. His wife's name is Shannon. Do you want us to get a little gift basket together for it? That alone keeps me coming back.
Rob's liver specialist gives him gifts too. It's a stack of cards that says, please do not call.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's coupons.
That was, again, unkind and rude is what that was.
It's because I care and I want to know if everything's finally okay, you know?
Well,
I just want to make sure.
We're at the case where he wants to see me in November.
In 6 months.
Yeah, well, now it's 5 months, but my appointment has been made.
I thought he was the one that was going to, didn't your general practitioner send the results
of your scan
to the specialist?
Yes, he
did.
Bone
scan.
Yes, but also the GP looked over the scan and
I
was
know
pleased
that.
With what he saw.
That's old news. Yeah, I follow
the GP
with
GP didn't go to school for 20 years.
About the liver.
Yes.
Liver. All right. Well, yes. There's no need to be unkind, though.
What about calling him?
I will.
We're motivating you. This is how we motivate you to find out, to see if there's anything going on that you could get a little feedback on. And I don't think it is in any way unreasonable for you to, a ringy-dingy to the specialist who you waited 10 years to see.
This is true.
And then find out what's going on.
Also,
and by the way, it's the original guy that you like is, that's good that he thought it was okay, but he's not the
standard. You're right.
Also, it's a CD-ROM, right? Did you get a copy or did they send it straight to
They sent it straight to him. And I think it's virtual now. I don't think you get a CD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If you got the link and it looks like a leopard's living inside of you, then you got a problem.
Well,
I
looked
can't
on
read
YouTube.
That.
I looked on YouTube and I couldn't find it anywhere.
A leopard is looking at
We could have the listeners vote
on
it.
Pony, here's an idea. Shut up. Don't need your help.
You wouldn't call him, would you? I mean, and if we weren't busting your chops, you
wouldn't
call him, right?
I actually would.
That's why we did this.
I would. I would call him. As a matter of fact, it was on my mind today.
Well, I'm glad. I am so glad
Funny
to
you
hear
should
that.
Say something, Mike. I started caring about myself today.
I just...
You know what? After this segment, I care about myself even less.
No, I can imagine that you've been through it, and you probably don't. I mean, I don't think he'd have. If there was something bad, he probably would have called you.
You know,
is that the attitude you have?
A lot of
what?
Times I don't pick up my phone. Maybe he has been calling. This is his name. I don't know if I even told you this. He's at George Washington. His name is Dr. Spam. So I don't know when it comes up if it's going to be him or trying to get my car insurance done.
God forbid he sends you an email. You'll never find it. Is he downtown? Is he downtown D.C.?
Yeah, he's at Georgetown. Yeah. He's at Georgetown Hospital.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. Well, that's I think that, You know, maybe you could even drive by.
Just pop in and knock on the door.
I'm sure someone who has a 6-month waiting list for appointments appreciates a drop in. Hey, buddy.
He can't cut you 2 minutes out of his little ridiculous
gotta be your own
overpriced
advocate.
Day.
Oscar is right. You are right. Absolutely right. Yep. Yes.
All right. If it was something, do you think he's looked at it?
Yes.
What do you think?
I think he's looked at it. He was not overly concerned when we spoke when I met him.
You have look, Mike.
I thought I was talking, but go ahead.
He looks great. Look, Rob has done everything any doctor that I've talked to outside of his own doctors. Like you have, you know, stopped drinking. You're eating healthier. You're taking the steps to live a better, clean life.
I'm down 88 pounds today.
God almighty, it's the lowest you've ever been, right?
Almost. I'm almost there. I'm almost to the, when I was seeing the nutritionist. Do you remember that sort of exercise where I went and saw the nutritionist?
Way back then.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. And I was thinking about this today. It was never really to me... whether it was a nutritionist or any one of the fly-by-night people that advertised on WJFK or, God forbid, our podcast, that was never to me real weight loss because I was always waiting for it to be over so I could eat right again or eat the way I had
you
been eating.
To.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of weight loss, do you know when I asked you the other day to contact our friends at Noom?
Yes.
Nothing? I was there.
I got a follow-up from them yesterday afternoon saying that they're going to reach out to you. Okay. And they said they're working on it.
Okay.
Never mind.
Yeah. It's useless.
Do me a favor.
It's useless. I need a number. Give me numbers.
Call them.
I'm trying here.
Be patient, please. We'll call them together.
I'm not going to lose it again.
We're good.
Yesterday
he's
afternoon.
Down 88. He's down 88.
He's down 88. Power that 88. Is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I am not.
I understand.
I am not, and I want
Noom
to.
Noom does work.
You know, it does.
Noom does work.
You would like it.
Flirted with it. Carla dove in. You dove in, and I want to dive in again. In conjunction with the person I'm going.
Yeah.
You know what? The conversation I had with the person that's helping me in this area said, "Well, you know, I really can't scientifically analyze what's going on if you don't tell me the truth."
Yeah.
Wow.
So did you put everything in there that you were eating? I'm like, you mean as far as Sunday was concerned?
I thought Sunday was a free day.
Sunday is a cheat day, yeah.
I said, did I put the bonbons in? I did not. Yeah. I did not. So, I mean, really, directly, this tiny little person that is, 1% body fat, looking me in the eye with her big baby browns and says, did you put, I can't analyze what you're doing or what you're not doing if you don't tell me all the information. That was not saying don't lie. That was just saying, be.
It's very tough. I mean, even eating as well as I can, portion control is still really tough. I mean, I ate so much protein last night for dinner. I mean, really? And I know that if you have to cheat, protein is a good way to do it. But a full New York strip steak is a lot. It's a lot.
That's a lot of fat, too.
Yeah. Well,
I trimmed the fat off all the edge fat. But I mean,
Linus's liver is screwed, but mine should be okay.
That's treat day.
That is treat day.
A New York strip is
but
treat
But it was
day.
Amazing. It was really good.
And I don't know. We have a grocery store chain down here. Right across the street from where I live, called Sprouts.
Oh, I have Sprouts.
You have a Sprouts up there?
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't go to it, but I've been there.
Grass fed. Oh my God! I will never.
Is it? You know what
buy
I buy?
Meat anywhere else.
I buy Dad grass fed beef.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got CBD.
Yeah. It does, and you'd sleep forever.
Yeah. It's we have to break. Okay. Later in the show, other diet-related thing, there's a seasoning out there that I want to discuss on the show.
This is so intriguing to me.
The seasoning had a particular adverse effect, and I'm not the one. Let's just say in our house, even though she's so beautiful, I am not the farter all the time, but this time was different. But we've got a little homepage in the way. We'll do that next.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, no, not again.
Antony and Cleopatra.
The dishes.
Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories.
Oh, yes.
Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
Thank you. Thanks so much. You see, she does the... She does the dishes really loud.
Doesn't she do the dishes like she hates the dishes? Like the actual dish itself, she hates it.
You and Michael are doing shtick.
Her enemy. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Chime. Is that piece of plastic in your wallet doing enough for you? With the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start building credit with everyday purchases and on-time payments.
You see,
with Credit Builder, members can increase their credit history with no annual fees or interest. Having good credit can mean getting better car loans or renting apartments easier or just give you bragging rights around the dinner table. So continue your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA. Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact score may vary, and some users' scores may not improve. Thank you to Chime. Hit the music, please. Thank you.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and Paul Rudd, I like Paul Rudd. He makes me laugh a lot. He heard that a 12-year-old boy was being bullied in school and that no one would sign his yearbook. So he decided to reach out. He sent him a signed Ant-Man helmet and has also talked to him on FaceTime and text. In a handwritten letter, Paul said, quote, "It's important to remember that even when life is tough, that things get better. There are so many people that love you and think you're the coolest kid there is. Me being one of them." That's so sweet. Yeah. I love
it. Pony, what's it like when someone doesn't sign your yearbook?
Oh, it's awful. It's horrible. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Nobody came to sign mine. I didn't get a celebrity visit.
Oh, yeah. That's a shame. I'm sorry.
F him and F Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
He went on to say, "I can't wait to see all the amazing things you're going to accomplish." He's not the only one who's contacted the young boy. Last month, the Broadway cast of Dear Evan Hansen invited him to a show and asked him to bring his yearbook so they could sign. So that's what happens, and I think that's great. I don't know how it got. Usually something like that, a big splash was made about, but kids can be rotten. And, you know, we were having a conversation today with my son as I was taking him back from camp. And I said, "Michael, you're going to be getting together with a buddy and playing golf on Sunday," which he is. He's going to do that, and it's kind of cool. And this, I said, and he's 10. Did he just turn 10? He said, "No, he's about to be 11. I said, "Oh, older kids." Well, I hung around older kids, too. And, you know, it's always cool, and I think it helps you a little bit. And I was friends with a lot of older kids all the way through high school. But always remember, be nice to the younger kids, too.
Yeah.
So if you're going to hang out with the older kids, be nice to the little kids. That's a way of saying don't bully.
Yeah.
No, bully.
But also, no dejen que te toquen tu cosita.
That's right.
Yes,
Mike.
Do not let them touch the, you know,
below your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did he get a yearbook this year? I know some elementary schools do yearbooks.
In Lee County, no, he got a gun.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. Did anyone sign it?
No. Actually, maybe the sheriff. Maybe the sheriff did.
That's a good prize.
Famous Dodger Stadium vendor. Right. This is it. Once again, here we are being wusses about things you don't need to be wusses about. All right? Yeah, a kid can walk in and buy a gun and off a million people. But Dodger Stadium vendor Roger Owens has been throwing peanut bags to people in the stands for almost 60 years, and suddenly it's a problem. This is where we are. This makes me so mad I want to spit. Roger has been told to stop tossing the bags
Because it's a safety issue.
BS.
Is it because of the peanut allergies?
No.
That would be even worse. Yeah. My kid has a peanut allergy, and I just tell him to duck. Okay? Let's see. He says he's heartbroken, but he's not going to fight the decision. He still thinks it's ridiculous, and I agree with him. Here's the quote. They have time to see it coming.
Yeah.
I love the vendors. Yeah. I do. It's not some bullet that goes straight through. I'm always wanting to make sure that whoever I'm throwing to will catch the bag of peanuts. It's one of the great joys of going to Dodger Stadium.
If I'm not mistaken, this guy did Carson. He's like chillingly accurate.
He's like very the FedEx lemonade guy in O Stadium.
This guy goes on to say, I want them to catch it because they feel a sense of accomplishment. A vendor making a job 60 years, loving what he does.
Yeah.
The Dodgers ended peanut tossing in 1976 and in 1985. So this has happened again. But both times they had to reverse the ban because fans complained. So maybe this isn't final, but I'd love to know who complained.
Did you know the Nationals this season, they've eliminated salad tossing? They said it was a hygiene issue.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Here we go.
Wow.
Jesus. Rob Spiewak, the line of the summer so far, ladies and gentlemen.
And you should hear the guys in the booth cover it. Wow, what's going on there in the outfield?
With a capital H.
You are.
He must do yoga.
Yoga.
Oh. Oh, my God. Welcome to National Park. Oh, Lord. Oh, man. A hand-painted man. I'm not going to be able to do the rest of the news. A hand-painted mandolin that Janis Joplin once owned, then gifted to Jimi Hendrix, just sold for $281,250 at an auction after 29 bids. It's painted with flowers, their names, and the phrase, I'm going to vomit. No, I'm sorry. It's painted with flowers, their names, and the phrases, love thy neighbor, and flowers, beads, bangles forever. This was the first time it ever hit the auction block. A private collector acquired it from the Memphis Music Hall of Fame 20 years ago. So
I believe that our own Charlie Burney plays mandolin occasionally.
Yes, he does.
He fools around.
By the way, I didn't know that you could actually make a mandolin look cool.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely.
Very,
yeah.
Very, mm-hmm. very neat. And best ever, even though we don't agree, we don't see eye to eye when it comes to politics, but Ricky Skaggs, one of the greatest mandolin players.
Fantastic.
Ever. Sometimes we know a thing exists, but it takes science a little while to catch up. Like this. A new study, I found this fascinating. A new study came out, and it's the first to prove that being hangry really is a thing. For 3 weeks, 64 people used an app to track their emotions and how hungry they felt. And it showed that not eating really does make us mad. When people were craving food, they were 34% angrier and 37% more irritable. They also took 38% less pleasure in whatever they happened to be doing.
How do you quantify that?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe if it was like 40%, but it's 38%?
If I may, the worst hangry I've ever experienced in my life. And Pony, is my wife still in there?
Yeah, she is sitting in the chair behind me.
She's listening to the show?
And she's got headphones
on. Never mind.
All right.
Oh, man. Oh, she looks pissed now.
Maybe another time.
Hi, Pete.
Maybe a little bit.
Next time.
Really? Was it a big fight?
Just, you sit there, you're like, how do you forget to eat?
Right, thank you. Well,
I didn't hear it.
I heard a little. Anyway, the team behind this study said it's important to avoid those situations because your hanger won't necessarily go away once you eat. You'll still be irritable. Yeah. Feeling hangry for even a day can affect your overall mood and leave you in a rut for days or even weeks. So there's
really?
That. I don't know.
Stay ahead of it, Mike. Stay ahead of the pain. Stay ahead of the hunger.
How often, and this is something I do, I certainly do it when I'm enjoying my favorite hobby, and I do it around work as well. You've heard it on this show. Long conversations. How often would you say that you insult yourself? Like saying you're such an idiot because you left your keys inside. A new poll found the average is more than 3 times per day. That includes both insulting things you say and insulting thoughts. So you don't necessarily have to say it out loud for it to count. I'm such a dope. Women do it more than men. The average guy insults himself 3 times a day or 1,095 times a year. For women, it's 4 times a day or 1,460 times a year. For golfers, it's 57,700 times a year. Thank you.
But aren't golfers more likely to insult each other?
No. The most accountable beings around on the golf course.
They bust balls.
So that's different.
But yeah, they can insult each other, but it's more of a masochistic type of activity.
How do you blame someone else for your terrible swing?
No, I'm talking about insulting them on their terrible swing.
Oh, they're breaking balls.
Yeah, if you're breaking balls.
By the way, greatest ball busting, my friend Jim, who someday maybe I'll get him on the show from the old place I used to play.
Yeah.
And he sounded like this. If you want to know Rob will relate to this. If you want to know who he reminds me of, seriously,
yeah,
he reminds me of Jack Benny.
Oh, that's great.
And we had a guy, Yogi, who used to be in our group, and this was the line, okay? The line was,
I can't wait.
That was a really, really good putt if you didn't care what direction it was going. Spectacular. This is not a comedy kicker. This is a story I love,
but this
and
is
I'm going to leave you with that today. Okay. This is the kicker, a little something something. We're told Hoops hero Shaquille O'Neal got to chatting with a couple in Best Buy over the weekend. He ended up paying for the washing machine they'd come there to buy. Plus, he got him a 70-inch TV for the hell of it. Apparently, Shaq was browsing the electronics store in Dallas, where he just bought a home. Because he just loves seeing new things in the tech world, we're told, when he met a young family looking for a washing machine. After talking with him, by the way, if you're Shaquille O'Neal or any athlete that has stumbled upon unimaginable riches in your life, and I swear to God, if that was me and I had this to me, there could be no better time to go out and spend your money than doing something like this.
Yeah.
How much fun for him. And I think it's good. I don't think it's a lose situation at all. He was browsing the electronics store. He met a young family looking for a washing machine. After talking with them for a while, the Lakers star and the NBA analyst, one of the best in the business, decided he'd like to brighten their day. He pulled out his credit card and treated them to a few pricey appliances. That's the way it's written. I love this.
That's great.
Let's see. Reach for comment. O'Neal told Page Six, I just want to make people happy. He's generally a generous guy. Over the weekend, he announced he'll donate the proceeds from an upcoming DJ set in Buffalo to the victims of the mass shooting there in May, and he will because he's a great human being. Let me see. They recently reported that he picked up the dinner tab for an entire restaurant. Spies said he arrived to the Chelsea hotspot. Is that New York? Chelsea?
I would think so. It sounds like it.
It's called Jouer Land Club one night last month. By the end of his meal, he was footing the bill for the entire eatery. But we also heard that O'Neal apparently wanted to keep his generosity a secret from fellow diners. He asked the staff not to mention that he was paying the bill for over 40 tables until he left, according to sources.
Wow.
That's just a good thought. And that's Shaq being a funny guy and laughing. And as far as... If I could have Shaquille O'Neal in here just laughing all day, I would be a happy man. Fantastic.
Can't take it with you.
He didn't stand up in that restaurant and say, no dessert.
I don't want any after-dinner drinks.
That's it. We'll take a short break. We'll come back with more fun.
Greetings to my father.
Has he got a condo or does he have an apartment?
They call him Condo Bob.
Hello, I'm Condo Bob.
I once saw Condo Bob bowl a perfect game while receiving a colonoscopy.
Best damn management consultant in the firm.
He had to have his feet registered as deadly weapons in the state of Delaware.
Condo Bob has fathered every male child in Indonesia since 1985.
In the wintertime, snow will not accumulate on his walkway out of respect to Condo Bob.
Condo Bob!
Condo Bob does all of his shopping through the TMOS Shopping Center. One click and he gets what he wants. While everyone else has to click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com, Condo Bob simply orders his items through the power of his mind.
Got a condo made of stoner.
Yes, if you haven't been paying attention to the Mike O'Mara Show, the man formerly known as HBS, Horny Bob Spiewak, is now simply referred to as Condo Bob.
And taking summer residence on the Eastern Shore. And since you bring him up, Mike,
yes.
Happy 15th anniversary to him and aww. Kathy today.
Happy who got birthday, married on Bob.
7/7/7, they got married.
Super happy sweet. Birthday, Kathy. I mean, happy anniversary, Kathy. Happy anniversary, Condo Bob. And you're not in a condo. I know you're on the Eastern Shore. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
But he still retains back. Two condos.
That, yeah, he's got two condos. So that means he's Condo Bob.
Yes.
That likes pieces of ass online. That's it. That's it. When we decide to lose weight, it's usually not just about the number on the scale. Noom Weight is ready to help. Are they, Rob?
They are, Mike.
Good.
Yes.
Noom Weight's psychology-based approach gives you the knowledge and support to build lasting results. Noom Weight empowers you to build more sustainable habits and behaviors. To date, Noom Weight has helped more than 3.6 million people lose weight. Your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. The program is based on scientific principles like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, that helps you understand your relationship with food. It's amazing how flexible the program is, which really works. I recently recommitted to Noom.
Yes.
I really want to get back into the weeds with it. And when I say the weeds, the details of it. Really, really spectacular. I filled out their survey, and then I found out that, I'd done it the first time, and I need to reset it, and that's what we're working on right now. That's why I'm expressing my frustration with not Noom Weight.
Not at all.
I'm so eager to get started again. It works. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom Weight's psychology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial today. When do you want to eat? When are you hungry? Yeah. What triggers you to be hungry?
Is it emotional?
Why?
Yeah.
What is it going on? How do you head that off at the pass? What do you do?
Yeah.
Put stuff in your path that'll help you not eat the stuff that's bad for ye. That's what I'm talking about. It's fantastic. So Noom, very excited to have them on the show. And please, for the love of God, anything I need to do, anything, any phone calls, anything, I will do it. I'm just trying. And by the way, I'm paying for it, too.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Love to do it. Yeah. I'm excited about it. Just need to make the right. Because I got in there, and it's all been done before. And I need to clear that out and start all over.
Clean start.
Speaking of food. So, Rob talks about protein. I talk about protein. Oscar talks about being a Latin American individual.
Yeah.
All right? I know that this is a Latin product because it's very clear on the label that says A-D-O-B-A.
Oh,
Adoba.
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 Yeah. Adoba last Audition. Night. Adoba Suite.
No, hey, not Adobe. Adoba.
Cool-headed Spice. Yeah, yeah.
Carla says to me, she's out slaying the dragon yesterday. She says to me, bought you a couple of chicken breasts, chop them up, leave me some, and got some quickie brown rice also. I said, fantastic. She got these little quickie rice bowls that you put in, 90 seconds, you're set, 90 calories, lots of starch, lots of carbs, but it's okay. If you're managing your carbs, you can do it. And then just the white meat chicken, a little Pam, and then I chop up the chicken breast.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put it in a bowl, the chicken, and I wash my hands because I don't want to get any of my griblies on.
Cross-contamination, you know? Oscar. Yeah. It's an enemy of the kitchen.
And I did spend most of the day scratching my ass.
Yeah. With the chicken breast?
It's so sweaty.
It's the weather.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
It's okay.
I really didn't.
Once or twice. That's it.
I have the sponsor we never got. So I don't have to worry about
that. Oh, that's right.
Good.
I have the potty thing, whatever it's called.
Clear Rear?
What the hell is it called? Clear Rear.
Clear Rear.
Once again, Oscar, if anybody's out there representing them, they would have the numero uno guy. It's the same thing with Jack Vail and the pooper machine.
You flooded your home with the Clear Rear.
I flooded my home, but now I've been using it. And by the way,
paid you back
never
in
got
spades.
A new one. I've never needed a new one. It's fantastic.
It wears like iron, Mike.
The Adoba seasoning can be the only outlier.
Is it adobo or doba?
Adoba.
Adobo.
Let me look it up. Hold on a second.
It's adobo.
My mom says Pásame el adobo.
What did I hear? Did I hear somebody screaming Shannon in the background?
Is it Shannon?
She's Shannon, the number what's one it? Fan. What, it's a. Do you like adobo, Shannon?
Give her the she mic. Loves it. Give her the mic. Give it's adobo.
Adobo. It's adobo.
Like it. Oh yeah, it's delicious. Mommy Nia cooks it.
Mom cooks with
it's
it all
amazing.
The time.
All right.
Yeah. Adobo. Goya adobo. Yeah, yeah. All purpose. $1.99 at Target. Goya. You can get it through our website. Yeah.
Adobo. What is adobo? All right. No, adobo's not a. What is adobo? A sauce, seasoning,
a
recipe, or something else?
Mike, the most popular version is the dry seasoning mix made from garlic powder, onion powder, oregano, salt, pepper,
yes,
and sometimes dried citrus.
Yes.
It's magnificent. And not very much of it.
I grew up with it.
To make the chicken just pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Yeah. Nothing
else. A dash.
Else. My question to you is as follows. When you would eat this particular seasoning, did you have any gastrointestinal distress as far?
Ooh.
And I'm not talking about pain or digestion. No. I'm just talking about, did you have the mad gas?
The wind?
Which I did. I had not only the wind, but I am not a big tooter. I'm not. I know I'm fat, but I'm not.
Well, you did do it. You were confused by Common Core.
You know what? Let me just say.
Not that kind of tooter, Oscar.
It's not that. T-O-O-T-E-R.
Oh, like a toot.
Yeah.
Okay,
I spend a long time in the studio with you, Mike, and you're not.
Let me say that in the scene where the Blues Brothers go into the restaurant and the man at the table next door says, those men, they are offensive. Adobo made me offensive.
Really? How do you know a trace of it today? How do
not
you know you got gas from adobo?
Because it's the only, I wouldn't think it would be the.
Mike, we can't analyze your gas unless you tell us everything.
Yeah, what did you eat that day?
My evening meal.
The day.
The day?
Yes.
Yeah, because actually gas and any sort of stomach issue.
You're a professional.
Usually comes 3 hours after you eat.
Yeah, it's like
I am able to do that because I keep a record of it.
People are like, I just ate this. I got food and I was whatever you ate earlier.
Exactly. It's not then. It's now. Not now. It's then.
Yesterday.
Yes.
All right?
Yesterday.
Yesterday I had a no-cow chocolate peanut butter cup protein bar.
For breakfast.
For breakfast.
What do they use to sweeten them?
I had Ratio. It is a protein-heavy, they call it a dairy snack because it's got so much protein. Yeah. It's not real yogurt.
Okay.
But it's a yogurt thing. I had whey protein isolate, unflavored, isopure. It's called one scoop.
Yum.
I had a Koya. I put a lot of weird stuff in my body now, don't I? I had a Koya cinnamon horchata.
Oh,
that's a drink.
Dirty horchata. I had 4 egg whites and an egg.
So
I had thin slice. I'm not done yet.
Talk.
All right.
I had thin sliced organic bread, sprouted whole grain called Dave's Killer Bread.
Heard of it. I had
2 slices, 140 calories. I had 2 tablespoons of ketchup, regular ketchup. Mm. 34 calories. At lunch, for lunchtime, I had a Clif Bar crunchy peanut butter.
That was breakfast?
That was breakfast.
I thought we were getting towards dinner
already. Yeah, I thought we were at dinner.
I had 929 calories yesterday before noon.
You like ketchup as much as our ex-president.
And by the way, I went over by 224 calories last night because I just had to.
Lunch.
For lunch, I had 2 Clif Bars. That's it. For dinner, I had, here it is, sticky white rice cooked, Bibigo, 1 bowl. And why the hell is that? Well, more calories than I thought. Anyway, white meat, chicken, skinless, cooked, 150 grams, 440 calories. And let's see. Do you want the snacks?
Sure.
Please.
Snacks, I had a mini Frosty, 75 calories.
I was going to say a mini fridge.
And a cinnamon superfood roll. 290 calories. My total intake yesterday was 2,524 calories. 224 calories over what I'm supposed to
get. I don't think it's the seasoning, Mike. I think it's that peanut butter bar that you had in the morning.
I eat a million of those all the time.
And it never affects you?
Never had a problem.
Well, you get on the mic. You know more about eating healthy than
I know that
on this.
artificial sugar and a lot of artificial sweeteners, especially stuff that's derived from sugar that isn't sugar, that will give you gastric upset.
Well, a lot of the stuff on here I've had before.
Shan.
Had the eggs. I've had this, you know, and all. But the adobo, that got
Please
me. Hi, Shannon.
Hi. Could it have been the oil that you cooked with?
Ooh.
I cooked the chicken with Pam.
With Pam.
I sprayed a little Pam in the pan.
The new Pam fart oil?
Was it fat? Actually, what Rob said, that's what I was going to say, the sugar alcohol in it. But
really?
Yeah.
You don't think it could be the adobo?
No, it's unlikely that it's just seasonings. It would come from fat or sugar alcohols.
Really?
Something that would actually upset your
stomach.
Hey, you
know what?
But seasonings.
Don't you drink during the
Unless you're
golf,
allergic to
like
something.
Like a couple beers?
In the evening?
Yeah.
No.
And you ran down your snack. You didn't have a lot of food, a lot of vegetables among your food. Did you have any veggies
yesterday?
No,
I did not have a lot of plant-based
Yeah, but I'm talking about proper vegetables.
What about that?
No, I hate vegetables.
For chata.
The horchata?
Yeah, sorry, yes.
Yeah.
The horchata was, like one of those things I showed you.
Well, you had one today.
I thought the eggs gave you
eggs
gas.
Eggs can do it.
Maybe it was the eggs.
You ate a half
I don't
dozen.
Know.
Yeah, you did. You had...
I did have a lot.
Five egg whites and a yolk.
Still, egg whites and a yolk.
Still.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Because there's no calories in it. There's a little fat in them, but that's all right.
But that's
all
quite right. A bit of egg.
I think egg is, like, if we're going to do an autopsy of what could cause that, you had four egg whites and a yolk.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say autopsy because I'm planning on buying the farm tonight. So we're going to be okay with that. But thank you, Shannon.
She said you're welcome, but Tony didn't
turn on
the mic. Yeah.
Did Tony grab the microphone out of her hand?
No, it's on my head right now.
I'm here to be funny.
F off, all of you.
I have a new nickname for you, Pony.
Oh yeah?
Doorstop.
You're a fourth
shot. Anyway, that's it. We'll be back after this.
That was weird.
Hey, Ringo, play something hot.
We will call this Mike O'Mara Life of Privilege Spotlight. Country Club Corner.
The dance of the living dead.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in.
By the way, there are people who literally never leave this.
Don't you have homes?
The Mike O'Mara bonus show is like a private members-only country club for your funny bone.
You scare up another round for our table over here and tell the cook this is low-grade dog food, all right?
The TMOS bonus show is an extra hour of uncensored exclusive content every week. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
What about my asthma? I'll give you asthma.
I'll guarantee you'll never be a member here.
The Mike O'Mara bonus show. Membership has its privileges.
It's in the hole!
I should have yelled too!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Summer adventures can turn into a lifelong love of learning. KiwiCo delivers monthly crates of science and art projects for kids of all ages and kids at heart. Each crate is a seriously fun exploration of science, technology, engineering, math, or art through hands-on activities like creating giant bubbles or even experimenting with ice cream. Yum! Your kid won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo. KiwiCo gives them the tools to learn new skills, build new experiences, and make new connections to the broader world. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. Plus, KiwiCo has something for kids of all ages, and you can pause or cancel anytime. Michael loves KiwiCo. Snatched it right off the stoop when it arrived like 2 weeks ago. And I love watching him discover new things. He's so smart, and he loves it. Pack summer full of memorable discoveries with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code TMOS at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code TMOS. We lost today, right before we came on the air, one of the all-time tough guys in movies from my era, James Caan, passed today. What a drag. What a shame. I know he was 70-something, right? Maybe up near
80. I think older than
82, if I'm not mistaken, Mike.
He was 82? Oh, yeah. Everybody's getting older, and I'm not paying enough attention to it. Oh, my God. You know what? As far as the definitive tough guy, just amazing. Just he had it. He was typecast as a tough guy, and I think he was kind of a tough guy in real life too.
He
right?
did, he did a not long ago did a long form interview on Marc Maron, and he is a tough guy. He's a hard ass. I mean, he didn't take it from anybody.
Right.
And I hope Maron posted again because it was a good interview.
Did he mention his son Scott Kahn?
Yes, yeah. He did. Yeah,
who is another tough guy?
He is another tough guy.
What's is it Into the Deep where Scott Kahn plays the kind of the cocky little little Andy, guy that's on the boat with the guy that we lost also, another guy.
And he was in Ocean's 11. Scott Kahn was the new
Scott Kahn was great with another family guy, which was Affleck, Casey Affleck.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Scott Kahn were phenomenal together in Ocean's 11.
Great in the remake of Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I liked that show.
So, James Kahn,
known for The Godfather.
Primarily known for The Godfather Part 2.
Shawshank Redemption.
He wasn't in that.
The Godfather Part 2. I'm sorry.
Where'd you get Shawshank Redemption?
They just were telling me who the director. I went to the director. My apologies.
James Kahn was great
for Transformers.
He was great in Them.
Two.
He was great in The Wizard of
Electric
Oz.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, it's all great.
Do we have Mr. Kahn's filmography?
I do. He has a movie coming out in 2023 called Fast Charlie. I'm just going to go through these. You ding them or buzz them.
Okay.
Acre Beyond the Rye. Redemption. Queen Bee.
Hey, slow down. Okay. Redemption. What Redemption? I'm not sure about that one, but go ahead.
2021. I don't want to buzz them. Queen Bees.
Go earlier. Go to Godfather.
You want me to start?
Forward.
And then
forward. Start with Godfather.
Well, actually, isn't Brian's song before The Godfather?
Was Brian's song before The Godfather?
It's almost concurrent, I think.
Play Brian Piccolo the relationship between Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers.
I've seen that movie a dozen times, and I don't know why people think it's so funny. It's just, to me, it's not.
It is. That is
okay.
That is
1972, The Godfather.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then he had a TV series, Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
He was a guest
Slither,
on that.
Cinderella Liberty.
Hold on. You're really punting this. I have to tell you, Rowan and Martin's Laughing was an ensemble.
I don't know what that is.
So he the Laughing was like 50 million celebrities came on. He didn't have a TV series.
He had this series called Rowan and Martin's Laughing. He was
would James Caan enjoy this? Would he have a sense of humor where he would laugh at what we're doing right now?
What we forgot is Misery.
Misery.
Let me get to it.
Paul Sheldon.
Yes.
In Misery. Phenomenal.
I continue
the swearing
up my
Paul.
Path, please?
Yeah, if you don't say that Laughing was his TV
his
series.
His hit TV series.
Don't know that. I was not born then.
That's a good show.
I know you weren't.
It's Slither.
Slither?
That's a film. It says it's a movie.
That'd be a snake
it's a
movie,
horror
probably.
Movie. Snake movie. Yeah.
Cinderella Liberty.
Cinderella Liberty was a really wonderful film. He plays a Navy guy. Great, great movie by James.
The Gambler in 1974.
Great, great movie. Mm-hmm. Very, very good movie. Right.
Freebie and the Bean.
Freebie and the Bean, I think, with... Oh, God. Who did he do that with? Oh, please. He was also in Ocean's
11. It Elliot Gould?
Elliot Gould. Thank you, Rob Spivak.
And Freebie
I'm
and the
sure.
Bean. Freebie and the Bean. The Bean actually ended up in Los Angeles radio, didn't he?
Yeah, you know what? It was a great gambling movie.
Yes, it was.
Great. Freebie and the Bean, one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'd like to see it. I haven't never seen
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Heard
yeah, you should check it out. Old movie. Yeah. Yes.
The Godfather Part 2 in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. I didn't realize he did all those. Yeah.
With the West in 74 as well.
Don't know that one.
Funny Lady in 75.
Funny Lady with Barbara Streisand.
Good star potential, though. I mean, they put him in that for the draw. I mean, yeah.
Rollerball in 75 as well.
Classic.
Yes.
Absolute
I haven't
classic.
Thought of Rollerball in years. Yeah.
Uh-huh. The Killer Elite in 75 as well.
Okay.
Okay, he's putting out three movies a year in the 70s.
He's getting it done.
In
76, getting it done, baby.
Silent Movie.
Oh, yeah, he plays himself in Silent Movie. It's the Mel Brooks movie.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Not one of the better Mel Brooks
efforts,
but still
pretty good. No, but if you want to be a completist, you got to watch it. Yeah.
Also in 76, Harry and Walter Go to New York.
I know that one.
In 77, A Bridge Too Far.
Wonderful war movie. Fantastic.
77 as well. Another Man, Another Chance.
Don't know that one. Yeah.
There's a television series. I don't know if you hear, but The Godfather Saga.
The Godfather Saga was edited for television where they edited one and two together in sequence.
Thank you.
Yes.
78, Comes a Horseman.
That was a pretty popular movie, I believe.
79, 1941.
Which was a disaster.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a disaster film. I'm talking about it was insane and apparently the most cocaine consumed on any movie set in the history of movies.
Because Spielberg, you know? No one would say no to him, so he got everything he wanted on that movie. Oh, wow. I don't even remember. Yeah. Khan must have had a small role in it because I don't recall him in that.
So anyway, we could go on and
well,
on.
Can
but
I
the
just,
fact
we're
is,
almost,
you
we're
want
almost,
them all?
Yeah,
do you
yeah,
want
yeah,
them
I
all?
Want them all. I feel like I should give it to him. Chapter 2 in 79.
Mel Brooks, right? Not Mel Brooks, Neil Simon.
Hide in Plain Sight in 80. 81 Thief, 81 Bolero, 82 Kiss Me Goodbye. We've got in 87 Gardens of Stone.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's a great movie about the military honor guard, I believe.
In 88, Alien Nation, which probably was a TV show. Dick Tracy. I didn't know he was in Dick Tracy.
He played one of the, he played a villain in Dick Tracy.
In 90, Misery.
Oh,
Misery,
yeah.
One of his great ones. Absolutely.
Did he get an Oscar nod for that? I think he might have.
She won the Oscar
yeah,
for
but
it.
I think he might have gotten recognized by the Academy.
91, For the Boys.
Bette Midler, yeah.
Yep. Which was a great movie, too.
It was. It was.
He played like her love interest in that.
Yeah, they were like a USO touring company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
92, Honeymoon in Vegas.
So great. Oh, my God. I'd forgotten that he plays the tough guy in that. Vegas Gambler, yeah.
93, The Program. 93, Flesh and Bone. 95, The Boy Called Hate. 96, North Star. And in 96, Bottle Rocket. 96, Eraser. Eraser was a big movie.
Oh, yeah, Schwarzenegger.
96, Bulletproof. News Radio is in a bunch of episodes. This Is My Father in 98. And Mickey Blue Eyes in 99.
Good.
I know that one.
Comedy mob 2000,
movie. 2000, The Yards. Lucky Town, The Way of the Gun.
We're getting close to Oscar's favorite James Caan movie.
A bunch
you'll
of TV.
Shawshank Redemption.
No, you'll 2001, see. Ronan Martin's laughing.
Viva Lost Nowhere. 2001, In the Shadows. 2001, Night at the Golden Eagle. I'm not aware of that one. This Thing of Ours in 2002. We've got
20 years to go for the love of Jesus Christ and all that's holy.
Well, I don't want to be disrespectful to the man's
career.
You're
not being disrespectful. Let the guy that knows the career talk about it. Okay. I got it in front of me. We don't need every single.
2003 Elf.
That's the one Oscar likes. Elf.
Did you like him in
I
Elf?
I loved him in Elf.
Okay, we got to Elf. That's good. James Caan, dead at 82.
Don't smile at me.
You know me so well.
Passed at 82, and we have to. Do we have to break now?
Yeah, we really ought to. Yeah, we got to go to the town. Yeah.
All right, the town, the sound town. So safe travels home, James Caan.
Good actor.
Really, what a wonderful actor. Great career, and made a lot of people very, very happy with his performances. We will take a break and come back with Sound Town and a tribute to the James Caan series, Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
Talk it to me.
It's a summertime celebration on the latest bonus show, and there's a special guest. If you haven't heard it yet, here's what you've missed.
Surprise!
Piss off the rich and famous.
I'm a very handy young lady.
My name is Rob Spiewak, and I'm the new diabetic.
Hey, Pedro says scream real loud.
Hey. 2022, come on.
Oh, are we being snowflakes and sensitive right now?
Let's have a real old-fashioned noisy 4th of July.
As Americans, we all have the right to life, liberty, and laughter. Ensure yours today with a bonus show subscription. Just click that banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
God bless America. Thank you. Did you know that a quarter of all mortgages are originated by banks? The other 75% are handled by non-depository lenders. That's mortgage companies, people. Mm. So if you or anyone you know is buying a home and looking to take out a mortgage, you should listen carefully. The mortgage lender you work with is the most important element in your home purchase when it comes to rates, program, service, and payment. My good friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the only experts I recommend for all your mortgage needs. Mark and his team offer more products and close loans faster than the large banks without the one-size-fits-all mentality. With their years of experience, customer service, and low-rate guarantee, make Cornerstone First a priority for your home search. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, call the good people at Cornerstone First Financial today. one of the longest-running advertisers on our show. Call Cornerstone First Financial today, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Thank you to Cornerstone First Financial.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
I don't like to bait you, Mike, but you mentioned something in the pre-show meeting about Ringo Starr. He turns 82 today.
Yeah, I'm going to probably do that when we come back, you know?
Yeah.
He's 82, and I was looking at Ringo and saying to my wife that Ringo Starr is one of the best examples of decent hair and beard coloring I've ever seen. He always looks like he's always had that jet black hair, that
yeah.
jet black beard, and it looks good. And I said, you know what? Just for S's and giggles, I did a little search on the get rid of the gray in my
yeah.
beard, and I might F around with that when
I
we
would
come
love
back
that.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What the hell?
And will you go black?
Jet black, like Blackstone.
Exactly. Anyway, Ringo Ooh. Is on Instagram. Ooh. He wishes everybody thank you in advance for wishing him well on his 82nd birthday.
Peace and love, everybody. Peace and love. Ringo here on the 7th of the 7th, the 7th of July at noon. I just ask you to go peace and love or even think it because it goes out there. Peace and love.
I'm curious.
You've seen Ringo, right? You've seen Ringo
yeah,
live?
Yeah, and I highly recommend the All-Star Tour. It's one of the most pleasurable concerts you can see. Because
victim of COVID with the O'Maras, we were going up in Maine, and unfortunately,
did he look annoyed in that video?
No, he didn't look annoyed. Ringo
That's
loves
Ringo.
Being Ringo.
That's the way he does it.
He loves being Ringo, and the fact is there's only like 5 Beatles songs he can really do the lead vocal on because mm-hmm. he was a drummer,
yeah.
and he is so happy to let other people on the tour sing their hits. There's no filler on this tour. And when you go see it,
and
it's
Ringo,
just hit after
I
hit.
Think for a long time they'd always let Ringo have one song per album.
That's about
where
right.
Where yeah. he was the lead vocal.
And the sort of rule of thumb, Mike, is if it could go on Hee Haw, Ringo's singing it because he always leaned sort of country. He liked country music, so
yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of his stuff yeah. was like that.
You're 16, you know, one of his
yeah,
big
yeah.
hits.
Now, absolutely. Do you like him as a drummer?
I do. Yeah,
yeah
I do because he's meter. He's tempo, and that's what a drummer is. And you learn that when you really, really, really start playing with other guys and you start playing with a band, you realize that, like, I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
Anybody who's ever been, Oscar, you've been to Guitar Center a million times,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
You go in there and you see these kids that are in there just like wailing
mm-hmm.
and doing every
mm-hmm.
fill and every rip. Mm-hmm. And it's meaningless if you cannot keep the tempo and do the backbeat of the band, which involves staying out of the way, making your fills fill the music.
Be great
and
at
being,
fills, yeah.
Being musical and being part of that. And that's it. So if you're splaying everything around, now, there are examples of musical drummers who are incredible, Neil Peart being
yes,
the best example
yeah.
of that. It's Tommy Lee was a good technical drummer, first and foremost, with all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. I think he was an adequate drummer skill-wise, but Ringo was just really great
Rock
at
solid.
Creating... He didn't overplay because he was a jazz guy and he knew how to do it.
One thing that I'll say, and I think Oscar will enjoy this as well, is that
I don't know if he was a jazz guy. I'm sorry.
Charlie Watts
was the jazz guy.
But right. Ringo never had a drum solo on any Beatles record. And when they were doing the final medley on Abbey Road, they asked him to take a solo and he initially said no. And the other 3 Beatles had to talk him into it. He said, not my style to do a drum solo. But he
right.
did a small drum solo at the end of Abbey Road because then all the Beatles took lead solos on
yeah.
guitar.
Also, publishing, College Fund.
Yes. Oh, very much so. Yes. Yeah, so please yeah, count
absolutely.
Him in. Mike, are you still taking your news from CBS News in Jacksonville?
I drive up there. It's about a 6-hour drive for me to get to Jacksonville, and
yes.
I drive up every morning.
Did you follow the story of James Nix? N-I-X.
James Nix.
Who's yeah. James Nix?
James Nix of Jacksonville is under scrutiny right now for killing his neighbor's rooster with a stick.
Oh, no.
That's
well,
horrible.
He says the, James Nix said the rooster attacked him. I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm just trying to convey the news.
Did he kill it with a drumstick?
No, but but amazingly, the bird had 2 of them.
Oh, okay. Oh, drumsticks.
Yeah, exactly.
But it did die, unfortunately.
Yeah, it did. It did. And here's James Nix when he was approached by Action News in Jacksonville. This is the first part of his interview, James Nix.
I didn't know to give it a 21-gun salute, CPR, mouth-to-mouth, you know, or call the chicken ambulance. So I'm defending myself. You know, I was feared for my safety, and the chicken, you know, died. I did tell him, after the chicken hit my dad, I said, hey, man, the chicken attacked my dad. Oh, what's he doing? It's just a chicken. What's he going to do? You know, okay, well, look. The kids that used to live over there, they were throwing rocks and sticks at this chicken to keep it away.
Yeah, it was a mean rooster, Mike.
So it was an attacking rooster.
It was. And, Mike, here he goes on further about the attack. This is Jacksonville's James Nix on CBS Action News.
His neck flares up. And he's doing his thing, and he's trying to jump up at me. And I try to hit it, but the chicken's jumping up at me, and I accidentally knocked it in the head. You know, call it a lucky shot, whatever. Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me. Chickens are dying every day, people, at churches, Popeyes, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Really.
Really.
I, you know.
No charges have been filed as of yet.
I'm not picking a team there. I don't want to pick a team. Not my style. Don't want to do
that. I'm Team Nix all the way.
I know you are. I know. But that's you, and that's, you know. I'm not ready to take a side. I'm going to sit on the fence, squarely on the fence.
Attaboy.
Love me the good roosters. You know, especially all those folks who go down to Key West and love those roosters. You know, whatever. Can we move on?
What
please?
About that rooster that passed out? Like, that was cute, right?
Yeah,
that was
nice. Cock-a-doodled himself right into a little coma, a mini coma.
Well, maybe if that rooster played daddy, he'd still be with us.
Well, that rooster, remember, attacked his daddy.
Yes, Danny.
I didn't know there were still churches.
Yeah, they. Yes, they're in Florida. There
I
are.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, and they kill chickens there every day.
Yeah, places of worship and restaurants.
Yes,
Florida has them all.
He's talking about the chicken chain, not necessarily a
place of worship. You know,
unless there's some evangelical cult that doesn't use snakes, they use chickens instead. Let's move on.
All right, Mike. Let's move to some of the 4th of July viral videos that have surfaced now that the 4th is over.
All I know is Jolene White posted it first, and I saw this.
Well, that's
is this
my,
the one where they pull the baby out of the way?
Yes, I believe
okay,
it is, right, but
I'm
that's
sorry.
My closer.
I don't want to read ahead.
Because if you're having 4th of July at Hank Williams Jr.'s house, do you know what he does?
Hank Williams Jr. had a 4th of July parade?
No,
a party?
He had a party, and every 4th of July, he fires the Civil War cannon that he keeps on his front porch, or front, I should say his lawn. I guess. I don't know. But here's Hank Williams Jr. celebrating the greatest country in the world.
It made a pretty big bang.
It make a pretty big bang.
Yeah. The boom boom
stick. That is the boom boom stick.
Yeah.
If I saw absolutely. That cannon, I might attack it with a stick.
Mm-hmm. Watch out. If you had a rooster in your hand.
That's right. Only then. So let's close with this. I wonder about people that have the fireworks set up on a front yard that is a very shallow front yard.
I have to say that when we went over to our friend's house and then they took us over to a smaller house.
Yes.
And where the houses were closer together and they were lighting off some like sparklers, Roman candle type things in the street.
Yes.
But it wasn't like what this guy had.
No.
Now, when you watch this video, and we're going to put the video up, right?
Absolutely.
You go ahead.
I'm sorry. There is planning. We've done this in Maine together as a family.
Yeah,
Mike,
yes. And we did. And you did a great job when you bought all those fireworks. Yeah,
and we made sure there was a blast shield. We made sure there was a natural moat for safety.
Because I remember
Mike said,
water.
Whatever you do, do not burn my family's home down.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah. And
it's a matchstick.
Yeah.
Mike made sure that we weren't setting off the fireworks 16 feet from a minivan, which might have been one of their key errors here because the minivan runs on gasoline.
Yeah. But what is that what it was?
Yes.
All I know is there's a little bit of an explosion. And they pull the baby off the front lawn.
And they run. They run like
hell. And the guy's not even fazed. And he goes over and lights the second pyrotechnic display. And the world explodes.
That's right.
Listen to this.
All right, here we go. This is the fireworks. The minivan is what I like.
Run! Oh, it's going to be right. You cannot stick it in there.
All right, that's the
first guy.
They pull the baby away. And then he goes right over and lights it.
But I will say this, Mike, no one was injured, And they did get the fireworks, buy one, get two free. So it's not as much of a disaster as you think.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Miracle,
and that is Soundtown,
no
I take
that,
it. Mike,
that's
it.
All right. I got, yeah.
That's off. That's awesome. Thank you very much. Hey, we're dark next week. We will return on Monday, the 43rd of July.
Yes.
With a brand new episode. I tell you the date, but I don't have it in front
we'll
of me.
I think it's the
18th, Mike.
It's the 18th. We'll have Best of All next week. And, of course, we get a bonus show tomorrow where we have our pre-summer darkness thing going on. You know?
What?
Dark. Excuse me?
Well, the show's dark. You always say the show's dark, but
dark.
We're having best ofs, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be tomorrow.
We're going
back
on
tomorrow
vacation.
A,
I think that's easy to say.
With a bonus show tomorrow for you with lots of cussing. Always interesting. When we're
blue
about to
language?
Punch each other. Blue language. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara bonus show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.